Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Tom Cruise, and your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to listen to this really, really great Sandspants radio podcast. Wow.
Hey, party people. It's your girl, Brie Larson, here. And when I'm not eating pizza, pretending to play Animal Crossing, making the worst movies of all time, or eating pizza, you better believe my ass is sitting down and listening to a brand new episode of Hey Fam.
Asuturo boy. Atom.
The mighty Atom.
Mighty Atom.
The mighty Hey Fam. We're back. Yeah. And yeah, I brought you Astro Boy
brother.
Omnibus 1.
Yeah, awesome.
How many of these, let's take a community poll now. How many of these 684 pages of comics?
Is that too loud?
That's way too fucking loud, bro. Yeah.
I've got an aircon unit. I'm just fucking around with it.
Aircon, Atom.
It's okay. It's like the room's cool, right?
Yeah, it's nice in here. Don't worry about it.
If you get hot, just you tell me.
Cool. And look, any room with the fucking Michael Jackson print is cool. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Sorry. Michael Jackson, Joker, pod racing.
Sorry for not living a little important guy's
house. Lube has nothing on my living room.
Fucking
Adam I reckon Sandler's. I read them all, man. I'm like, you know, I watched the 80s anime adaptation as a kid religiously. Used to tape it. Used to on SBS in the mornings, I believe.
Yeah, look, I think there is something still very, very readable about Tezuka's very early manga.
Yeah.
This has, I think, like...
But this is my gateway to dog fuck.
Tezuka. When you said that you kind of want to work your way up,
I want to.
Yeah,
yeah. Of course, it's like getting into the Beatles at Please Please Me and going, I got to get to the White Album. You know what I mean?
Tezuka, best known in the Western world, I guess, for being the creator of Astro Boy. Angus has been watching the Pluto series on Netflix, which is an adaptation.
You know, I remember almost of an adaptation Pluto of Astro Boy manga like 15 years ago. I remember like a Kinokuniya and I'm just being like, oh, this looks great. Like a retelling of Astro Boy.
Was he only bought the first volume or?
No, I just didn't buy it.
Oh, good story.
I think I ended up buying...
I hope they turned that into a Netflix series.
I think I ended up buying, what's something bad? I don't know, like my ninth copy of The Killing Joke. Something like that.
15 years ago about lines up with when you got me into comics.
Yeah,
you started
it was
me
probably
earlier.
It was when I used to work at a bookshop and I was like, oh, this looks cool. But I just think I had no money.
Yeah.
It was probably that.
Constant struggle of our younger days.
Constant struggle of life, man.
But Tezuka, after like, you know, pretty much defining what manga was post-war Japan, people started to rebel against it and make like comics for adults instead of all of his like all ages or, you know, straight up for kids comics. And then he was at first like passionately against it. He was like, this should be for everyone. Fuck this. But then it started getting more and more popular and he was like, well, fuck you, I'm gonna write the most fucked up adult comics of all time.
I was reading you know, after watching Pluto and being the spectrum surfers that you and I are, we just kind of jack in and like learn about everything.
Why isn't that the name of your Triple J segment?
It's not
spectrum
allowed.
Surfer.
Yeah, that's actually too good. Yeah. We'll rename Hey Fam to Spectrum Surfers.
Yeah, that is really good.
It's really good. Well, I was jacked in and spectrum surfing, and it was about like when Tezuka died. What was it, like late 80s, early 90s?
Yeah, 80s.
And his daughter, I believe, opened up like a locked drawer.
Yep.
And it was like the things that were found in his drawer. Do you know what they were?
Oh, it was like him. Like,
well, one
like
of them
furries.
Was like him praising Akira and Otomo, being like, Akira is a masterstroke, like an essay that he just wrote.
Yep.
And then heaps of furry porn that he just drew.
That's so sick.
Just like, animals with like two legs, like fucking, like we're like anthropomorphic animal sex. I'm like, that is so sick. That's every when I die, I want an essay about like Evangelion that I've written found in a locked
perfect.
Drawer.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just like
Joker
porn or
something. Tumics,
All my
favorite images that I've copied from Tumix.
But it was just,
all
just,
my Tumix screenshots that I shared
like,
in the Discord.
Yeah. It's just so cool. He just went out like a boss, like a love letter to the, literally a love letter to the genre that he is responsible for about the new generation and being like, this guy is great. This vision is amazing. I'm very like, it was very passionate about the future of manga and anime. And then also just like pictures of
fucking
like dogs with tits.
Rat.
And,
yeah, a rat with boobs.
Like a fox with a cock.
Yeah.
And it's just like so good. I love that. It's so awesome because it's like just the way anyone should go out.
Yeah, he died in 1989, and I believe the Taylor Swift album is about his daughter finding
I've heard that,
that in the drawer.
If those of you who subscribe to Reincarnation, that Taylor Swift is actually the mangaka himself, Tezuka, and she's moving into her adult era.
Yeah, they're going to start re-releasing all these books as Osamu's version.
Yeah, and it's just like Astro Boy is now a dog with a huge dick and like six teats. I just like him being like, no, this should be for everyone. And then someone whispering, you know, you can turn your like animal porn into comics. Yeah. He's like, oh, no, wait, I actually like this now. It's really funny to me that he's like, I'm finally going to do adult stuff. And it's about like men turning into dogs and having
sex. You know,
sex.
It's like, it's that very Japanese way of like, no, these are the ideals that I subscribe to and I'll never change.
Yeah.
Except when they eventually
change.
Hold
my boss coffee.
Then it's like, holy shit.
Floodgates open.
Exactly. Yeah,
yeah. You mean we can make toys about 14-year-olds and sell them for the next 30 years and put them in bikinis, even though it never happens in the series? Okay.
Dude, one of my... one of the videos I made about the Evangelion PC that I was given.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Went viral. It's at like, it's close to a million.
Paid for itself.
Million views on
They must be happy with that.
On Instagram.
What company is it?
ASOS?
ASOS.
Every single company.
No, ASOS is like the clothes one. ASOS.
Is it? Okay, right. Sure. ROG. All I know is that Republic of Gamers, brother.
Yeah,
ASOS,
I am
ROG. On. That's the one. But almost every comment is just saying pedo PC.
That's awesome. That's so sick. Are they like, can you delete those comments? You're like, brother, I can't.
Someone being like, this is gay. It should be a Dragon Ball Z computer. I'm like, that's also gay, brother.
That's like the lamest. Yeah. Yeah. No, if I'm going to be surfing Spectrum on the internet, I want to be using it with like a busty 14-year-old in a skin tight plug suit.
Well, no, it's not even like her. It's the robot that she's inside of.
Oh, that's like not pedophilic at all.
Yeah.
I want the Kaoru one.
Like yeah,
the
sure.
Dude angel.
And it explodes every now and then.
Yeah, yeah, when it gets too hot. R.I.P., brother.
I want, like, who's the dude that...
Watermelons?
Misato-san ends up... Misato ends up hooking up with... who's that guy's name again?
Kaji.
Yeah, I want
to... Yeah, no, he has a watermelon farm.
Oh, cool,
like, Shinji, let me show you my watermelons.
Yes, yeah, I want a Kaji PC.
My melons, yeah.
And just has a ponytail.
That'd be, just in the cable... all the cables at the back. You house them in, like, a ponytail. Yeah, that'd be sick. Pen one would be tight.
Dude.
Or Misato one. It's kind of like bender rules. Like you have to get drunk to use it. You have to like breathe into it like a breathalyzer and then the computer turns on.
That, her making ramen in the apartment
with
Shinji,
the curry.
That's my favorite Evangelion.
It's a great time. So good.
It's like visiting all of the... Evangelion stores that I visited in Japan and that song played in all of them at some point while I was in them.
Oh my God.
And like also dragging my kids to each of the stores and them kind of just going like, I don't know what this show is, but my dad loves it.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
I would never be angry if I
was... thought it was sorry. Just my best memory is like whenever anything with like Unit 1 or one of the characters drove past. She goes, look, Dad,
M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M-M Jim Misato's theme would play. Like,
oh, totally.
You'd be like angry when they connected you finally.
Yeah, and they connect you and it's like dun 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 dun
dun dun dun dun. Yep, we are surfing this morning.
Yeah, we are definitely not just surfing, maybe stalling before we talk about the main topic.
What is the main? What have we got?
Iron Man fucking 49.
33, I think.
Is that
I think it's the 33rd film.
What about, I'm obviously counting every episode of Moon Knight.
51, yeah.
Or 12 episodes of What If.
Yeah, look, we'll come straight out.
Calamari surface.
We'll come straight out the gate and say that Moon Knight is sadly not a part of the Marvels, which I almost got up and left.
We were wearing full Moon Knight cosplay, yeah, both
you
of
were
us.
Him in the suit and I was him in the
you were just the British one.
Yeah, I was the British one. I was the
one night
museum
in the museum
employee.
Yeah.
Did you see that thing last week where they spoke about how they spent 10 months keying out and they've been doing like mirror effects, I think, since like the 1920s.
One of the fight scenes happens in a bathroom where there's a bunch of mirrors, and yeah, they had to like digitally remove
the cameraman
from every scene. Yeah,
but this is something that's been done like since the 20s, since the invention of cinema, probably the second day since film was invented, like Buster Keaton and whatever, just like, oh, we should film some stuff in a mirror, like that would be, you know, a great optical illusion.
We both just got a message from our friend Noon, who is seeing the Marvels right now.
This is awesome.
Sadly, I don't think he's going to finish the movie by the time we finish recording. But I know I'm always, here's
it's
my
a pretty quick movie.
Here's my prediction of his review of it. I loved it.
Yeah. So I agree.
If you're noon-pilled, you're going to love the Marvels.
Yeah, yeah. If you have just, you know, if you need this, I'm happy for you.
If you're excited for Aquaman 2, chances are you're probably also going to love the Marvels.
We loved going. Yeah, we went to the IMAX. I mean, what else is going on? Let's stall a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I finished.
The strike's over.
Yeah, the SAG-AFTRA.
Maybe. I don't know if it's over. They're like, it's done. Over. And then people are like, they've reached a tentative deal.
They announced it just so Kumail could tweet about the new Ghostbusters movie he's in.
Yeah, he's like, I got ripped Kingo's again. Back.
Yeah.
I'm the strongest ghost ever. And he's like, I can't believe I can't even promote my men's health. You know,
is he article. Still ripped?
I don't know.
You know how Eric Andre got ripped and then like is now not ripped like less than a year
Why did
later?
He do it?
Because just he said
as
that
a
he
joke for
kind of, which is totally amazing. Mm. Kind of the way the Mac from Always Sunny.
Because I know he got here. Really fat once too, Eric Andre, for a season of the show.
But he said he people recognized him too quickly at his usual build. So he got ripped so people wouldn't recognize him straight away.
Oh, okay. That's kind of hilarious.
But like I finished defense. Super Mario Wonder on Monday. Played the entire game with both kids.
Yeah.
And
that is a wonder unto
itself. I thought that would be one of the more like hair pulling gaming experiences of my life, just because that game. Did I tell you about like it assigns a crown to the person thinks is like
multiplayer.
In the lead, and then the camera focuses on that, and like, man, you think that fucking Elden Ring is difficult? You try trying to play like an auto scrolling Mario level while your 7-year old. The game has decided is the player to focus on.
It's like the NES version of Mario. You know, you can't like scroll back.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
Like the first ever Super Mario Brothers.
Great game. Great
game.
Penultimate,
playing it just before you came
penultimate
in.
Level. Absolutely loved. Tilly's furious that because we died so many times in the penultimate level, but we didn't die once in the final level.
Really?
Again, the big boss fight against Bowser, she was really annoyed. It was so easy.
That is kind of a trend, isn't it? Like, I always find like the level...
Mario games.
The penultimate level is usually a doozy, like a tough one, and then the Bowser fight is kind of like not as hard.
The 3D Mario games usually a little bit more. Like, I mean,
good challenge.
I think I died a couple times on the final Mario Odyssey fight with Bowser, maybe.
Yeah. Are you Bowser in it? I'm trying to remember.
No, like to before you become Bowser.
Oh,
to, like,
that's right.
Fight him with a hat.
Yeah.
You put on a hat that like punches him or something.
That's right. A hat with like arms or something. Yeah. I mean, they did surgery on a grape. they put arms on a hat. You know, it's crazy what they do in the Nintendo factory.
But so immediately after finishing Super Mario Wonder, we put out the next released Nintendo game, which is the new Wario.
Oh, yeah, I've got that
game.
Too, but I have no one to play with.
I mean, I think
can you play single player?
Yeah, you can play single player.
Oh, okay.
I think I need to do that. I think I need to start a second save file and just
because of those dumb kids of yours,
as I've done all the other. Oh, it's just like it's insane how frustrating it is to teach kids how to.
We used to be so good at games.
No, but that wasn't motion controls. Like Archie fucking rocks at shit with buttons and a D-pad.
I guess we were the Wii generation and they weren't.
Yeah, and so this is a direct sequel to MarioWare Smooth Moves, the Wii one, which I think is the highest selling WarioWare game. So it makes sense that would be something they make an eventual sequel to. And frankly, like it would be a missed opportunity if they didn't try and follow up that with like, you know, you have the Joy-Con. You can do motion stuff.
You can do it all.
Like, why not try and see if you can do a better version of it? But for me, like, WarioWare is best played with two buttons and a D-pad. Like, the first WarioWare is probably my favorite.
Oh, yeah. The one on
WarioWare
Advance,
Gold
is
probably my actual favorite. But
well, I'm glad you clarified that.
Yeah.
I'm glad Tom Cruise.
Oh, man. I wish I missed 50. I wish I had to. Like, you know, I love getting codes, but I wish that I could have missed the first 15 minutes of the Marvels to buy this new WarioWare Move It game.
Yeah, I wish you'd brought it along and the Switch.
I did bring it. I had it in my bag with me. I thought I considered.
We've got a lot of news coming out because of the strikes. You know, like the floodgates have been open. I just this is breaking that Warner Brothers has shelved John Cena's Coyote vs. Acme movie a year after it completed filming, and we'll get $30 million tax write-off for vaulting it. We're going to get so much.
I know
news
it
like
seems
this.
So lame to be mad about a John Cena Wile E. Coyote movie, but I actually reckon that sounds cool.
James Gunn wrote it.
What?
Yeah, it was live action.
He must
CG
be
animation
furious.
Hybrid that completed principal photography last year in New Mexico. It follows veteran animation executive. Oh no, sorry, that's not the plot. For 3 years, I was lucky enough to make a movie about Wile E. Coyote, the most persistent, passionate, resilient character of all time. I was surrounded by a brilliant team, but yeah, they were So it costs $60 to $80 million, but they're going to make $30 million if they vault it, which is kind of crazy.
That sucks shit.
Yeah.
I hate that that's just
they like shelf 90, the they shelf Batgirl, you know, it's just joined that.
But like if I was James Gunn and I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm dedicating.
It says James Gunn, co-written by James Gunn.
Okay, sure. But like, I mean, how much faith do you have in this thing that you've committed like the next at least 10 years of your life to?
Yeah.
When the same studio shelves a movie you wrote.
And the other good news is Brie Larson has now been able to advertise the Marvels.
I mean, one of my biggest takeaways from watching The Marvels,
yeah,
and we will get into it. I cannot wait to talk about this movie, as you can tell, is I feel like her life would be so much better if she didn't take that role.
Same. I like Brie Larson. Yeah, I think she's like cool at, you know, acting. I love her in like Scott Pilgrim. I think she's great.
She can sing like a motherfucker too. I prefer her version
of the song, the
Hello
the
Scott again, Pilgrim. Yeah. Friend of a friend.
I forget, Metric.
Metric,
the, yeah, yeah. I think she's great in Captain Marvel 1.
Yeah, I mean, like, I much prefer...
I think she's great in Endgame when she comes around and says, like, hello, Peter Parker.
Yeah, totally.
Great sequence. I think she's really charming and great in those roles. And I just think, like, you know, it's the Star Wars thing. It's, like, the fan... And, well, not the fans, just, like...
Did you like her in Fast X, though?
No, I think she was dog shit in that. But also, like, she wasn't the problem.
Yep.
That movie was the problem.
Absolutely.
Louis Leterrier's Fast X was the problem. She was, like... Not the fucking... Vin Diesel is the problem.
Yeah, for sure.
And that film exemplifies that. As big of you to
admit that.
Oh, yeah, I'll be the first to admit it. I even said, like, I think several times on the pod, like, he is, like, the worst thing about Fast and Furious.
Are you cooking something in your house? Oh,
I've got a rice cooker going on.
Oh, it smells fucking amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
What's in there? Just rice?
Just rice at the moment, yeah.
Smell of rice. You know, gotta be, like, one of the top three smells.
It
smells
so
good.
Yeah, I cooked a curry this week, so I put it on the long cook, and I was like, when the pod's done... You know, I'll eat that rice.
It smells fucking awesome in here.
It's good, isn't it?
I keep like lighting incense. Maybe I should just
cook rice. And then you can eat it. Just put it in the fridge. Yeah, make fried rice later. Yeah, just got a cup in there. You know how it is.
I fucking love rice.
Made a nice, what is it? Like a chickpea coconut curry.
Let's rank carbs. Number one, noodles.
Pizza. Oh, noodles.
Pizza. Brie Larson's here?
Yeah, it was in... noodles are great. Yeah, I had great dry noodles yesterday, actually. Dry noodles.
I mean, noodles you can cheat because there's really only like two types of rice, brown and white. I guess then you've got basmati.
Noodles.
You've got
fuck. Anything. I don't know, man. Italian's amazing. Like, that is carbs.
But that's pasta. Pasta and noodles are different to me.
Yeah, no, they are.
Rice noodle, egg noodle.
There's that Golden Century near my work, the takeaway one. And I had the pork belly.
On the egg noodles. That's the best shit.
I had the pork belly and the egg noodles with some greens yesterday. Just like the fucking best shit on
the planet. I just think noodle are very versatile carb.
You can have them.
You can have them wet. You can have them dry. You can have, yeah.
It's crazy shit.
Probably putting rice second.
Yeah.
Just love rice.
Rice is good because like you can either cook it up and have like make it the main attraction or it can be an amazing side. And you're just like, I need a bit of rice right now.
Yeah. Like, can you imagine eating curry without it?
No, it'd be fucking soup.
Exactly.
It's literally soup without it. It's a version of a stew or a soup.
And yeah, like favorite comfort food by far, fried rice for me. Absolutely love it. Like
yeah.
Nice big bowl of warm fried rice.
Hell yeah.
Take me home. And then I guess bread. Bread or pasta next?
I mean, look, I don't know. It's a tough one. Bread is so versatile. You can have it hot. You can have it cold. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Pasta, you got to cook that shit or it's not tasting good.
I'm also a snob now where I generally only like fresh pasta.
Yeah, like made?
Yeah. Like handmade. You know, that good shit when you're putting it in and it's already soft. You haven't got to soften up that
hard shit. Yeah. No, I'm not at that level of snobbery. I'm like very...
Oh, but my I think the most snobby I am is about bread. Like I'm very particular about the bread I eat.
Yeah, no, I get that too. Yeah. I guess I'm pretty snobby with bread.
I love a good rye sourdough.
Bread's so good, man.
Seeded sourdough.
Bread's great because you can just like fucking pop some shit on there. You know what? You got a sandwich.
Yeah.
That's a sandwich now. Yeah. It's no longer bread. But as we know, my toast disdain is...
That is true.
So it's perfect as is. It's so perfect.
But, okay, you like fried rice.
Yeah.
Fried rice is the toast of the rice world.
Yeah, no, I see that.
You're putting in bread in the freezer and then you bring it back to life.
Yeah, I guess when it's a toasting, bread is like 1/3 of what's going on. Whereas with the fried rice, it can sometimes be like 1/10 or 1/12 even. There's a lot going on in there.
Yep.
There's egg, there's like vegetables, there's prawn.
Oil.
It's crazy what's going on.
Yeah, man.
The other thing is I like toasted sandwiches. It's just I don't like toast with like a spread. Maybe that's more...
Wait, not even Vegemite?
I'd rather eat Vegemite on just like a piece of bread.
That's fucking bonkers to me.
Vegemite, I don't know if it is.
Has to be hot.
No, it doesn't at
my
all.
Favorite thing to have
Vegemite. If it was hot,
I love a crumpet.
It'd be sold in like a
toasted crumpet with Vegemite and butter.
See, that's crumpet you have to eat cooked. I love that.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
With bread with toast? No, it's yeah, already right. done.
I love
it's,
it.
It's cooked. It's, so it's just it's the principle at this point.
Yeah.
We need principles.
I don't know, what's the worst carb?
Like
potatoes?
No.
No, they're great.
That's maniacal.
Yeah, okay.
That's so dumb to
but
say.
Like compare, I know, but like gnocchi? Does that count as pasta or potatoes? So,
it's a pasta.
When it's bad, it sucks. Like soggy gnocchi, that can...
Yeah, that's horrible. You can fuck that shit up easily.
Someone let me know what a worse carb than gnocchi is.
We're all dying to hear it, aren't we?
But yeah, man, we saw the Marvels.
Yeah.
And there was a big...
Oh, we're going in?
Yeah, let's go in. Let's just do it. Let's.
I was going to say Zelda movie.
You could news. Say that for
let's,
sure.
Let's talk about other stuff first. Let's build up to the Marvels.
So the official Nintendo account tweeted...
Shigeru Miyamoto got the fucking keys.
Shigeru Miyamoto here. Yeah.
Do you know what it was like? It was like when we're at Paul McCartney and your daughter messaged me. When I was like, hi, it's Tilly. And you're just kind of like...
From my number.
From yeah. your phone. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you're kind of like, oh, okay.
but yeah, I just love... Like, do all Nintendo staffers have to let them know, like introduce themselves for every tweet?
No, I think it's like, obviously not.
Do you reckon they intended to make a video like they did when they announced the Mario movie? Or like...
I reckon, yeah. Like, no, I think it was strike-related. Yeah. I think it could have been strike, right? Because it was, yeah, maybe. Well, no actors were announced. And it's only the actor one just finished.
But so they're making it with Sony, which makes no fucking sense.
Well, I reckon they did say they don't want to get locked into a studio and will work with people.
Yeah, but the counter to that is, though, like they have, like, look, as much as I didn't like the Mario movie, Universal owns Illumination.
Mm-hmm.
Universal works with Illumination at Universal Studios. Mm-hmm. And they also have... Universal Studios has the Super Nintendo Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's synergy. Corporate synergy.
Yeah, but I reckon, like, they... Like, Universal would have the rights to all Nintendo theme parks off.
Yeah, but I reckon this means we're not getting a Zelda World.
I don't at all. That'd make a deal for sure. Like, they would have...
We're getting DK. We know that. And then,
no, they would definitely have a Zelda deal in place. They wouldn't be like... Don't do that.
Okay.
For sure. No, because there's like Spider-Man rides at like Universal in Orlando and stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
and Tokyo.
And Tokyo. Like,
sorry, I'm in Osaka.
Yeah. It's like, it's not like that. They would have like, yeah, they're different. The shit's different. Plus, they would be a theme park based on what I imagine would be the games, not the movie.
Yeah.
Not the Wes Ball of Maze Runner fame directed debut live action Legend of Zelda film.
Well, I mean, here's the good thing, right? The good thing is, no matter how fucking bad this Zelda movie be, and it will be, and it will be, and I will fucking kill you.
Well, why do you think it's going to be bad? Is it because it's produced by the same man who produced the Uncharted live action film for Sony?
So they're working with Avi Arad.
Avi Arad, who I've been reading a lot about recently in the Marvel.
So he's pre-MCU mm-hmm. Marvel movies,
yeah, so
right?
he was there in the 90s, brought on really early because he was friends with Ike Perlmutter, or they kind of bonded. And he was a guy who, he's kind of the antithesis of Kevin Feige, because he believed that licensing out films rather than, like, you know, what we now know as the MCU model, which is start your own studios. He was a big fan of licensing your characters out to other studios who would then distribute, etc. And you made like a preordained amount of money. Mm. He was like not keen on the risk of starting your own studio and making all that bank, which is what, you know, Feige eventually was with some other people was like now responsible for. So he's almost like, there's disdain almost. So he would be like, no, you're stupid. We'll let Sony pay $4 million to have the rights to Spider-Man films or something like that. You know yeah. what I mean? And they're like, it's, you know, the returns aren't that good on that. So he is a part of it. He once Marvel Studios kicked off, he left Marvel and has like a non-compete where he's no longer allowed to make superhero films or pitch them, but he's allowed to be like involved with the Spider-Man. Like,
okay, right. I think Venom and like...
Yeah, any Spider-Verse stuff. Like, he can't develop any new stuff.
So here's his production credits. You stop me when I say...
Do you know what's funny? His son is Ari Avid. No, Ari Avid, it's like... It's another like three-letter A name, and he produces with him.
Oh, so that's what I was getting confused with.
And now... A word from our really, really great sponsors. Trust me, I know a lot about good deals, folks, and this is a great deal.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's like Arni Arad and like Avi Arad or something like that.
Who's the guy who did like the Castlevania and he's working on...
I don't know.
Okay.
Avi Arad's like X-Men, Spider-Man, like movies, like was the guy that facilitated that stuff for Perlmutter when he was in charge of Marvel.
So I'm going to take you all the way back to... as executive producer, he's got his name on Blade, the first X-Men, Blade 2, Spider-Man... X2, Blade Trinity, The Killing Floor, something called Gamba Tonakamatachi.
I don't think that's a
Homecoming, character. Far From Home, and No Way Home. But as producer, so you imagine he's doing a lot more on these movies.
Well, he did Uncharted.
Before we get there, we've got to do Daredevil, Hulk.
Oh, yeah. So he was all the... So basically, he was like Fox and Sony Universe. So he was everything before Marvel. He was a producer, Ghost Rider, like that was all him.
The Punisher, Spider-Man 2, Elektra, Man-Thing, Fantastic Four from 2005, X-Men The Last Stand, Ghost Rider, Spider-Man 3, Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer. And then 2007, he's the producer on the Bratz movie.
Oh, okay.
That's his first non-superhero movie. You know what?
That's when he would have
movie.
Left and they're like, don't do new superhero stuff.
He's a producer on Iron Man and Incredible Hulk, yeah. Ghost Rider, The Spirit of Vengeance, Amazing Spider-Man, Robo-Sapien Rebooted, Amazing Spider-Man 2, The Ghost in the Shell live action remake.
Yep. Stinkers.
Venom, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, Venom Let There Be Carnage, Uncharted, Morbius, Across the Spider-Verse. He's really staking his claim on video game movies. He's making the Borderlands movie.
Oh, the Eli Roth directed Borderlands film?
Kraven the Hunter and Legend of Zelda.
Oh, dude, he rules. I think he's like becoming... He's awesome. Dude, I love him. So yeah, he's just like, his teeth are sunk. Like, my favorite thing about him is when we, you know, at the end of No Way Home, he gets like a fucking placard being like, thank you to the man who believed in us all the time. Like, that was his demand.
Yeah.
Insane. Insane.
Israeli as well.
Yeah, well, Israeli. Well, he and Perlmutter were. They bonded over like being Israeli.
Wow.
I think they served as well. I'm pretty sure they were IDF.
Hectic.
Yeah, and that was a big part of their bond. But he's like, not a fan of Feige.
Right.
Like, because I think Feige showed that you can do the very thing that he was like reticent to do.
Yeah, totally.
He was just big on like licensing and thought that was like the model. He is producing the Zelda film, and Wes Ball, director of The Maze Runner, is directing it, and also the upcoming Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, the fourth first of a new trilogy of the new Planet of the Apes films, which just shot in Sydney last year and this year.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, but he hasn't done anything besides that, really.
I mean, there is it's the opposite of a movie that I want to see.
Oh yeah, I have zero interest. I mean,
especially like
I have zero interest.
The 2023 me, where I just don't, like.
Well, we don't need this.
Studio movies have ground the part of me that used to be excited for corporate movie shit into dust. I could not give a fuck.
And you know why? Like for me, it is because there's such limited choice now. It's like every studio has essentially one franchise. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
totally.
No longer like your Tony Scott like adult joints coming out, like adult action shit. You know, or like your Bruckheimer stuff. It just feels very.
It's crazy
much
to
like
even think that like you couldn't even make a Harry Potter franchise to the same degree of quality they made that last one.
No, not at all.
Like that, it's just an inability. Like I don't believe in studios anymore.
Mm.
What franchises are there that aren't fucking awful? Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible.
I mean, Fast. I really enjoy. Like as goofy as
the Fast
shit
movies.
As it was, the Fast movies were like they knew what they were.
Star Wars, I think for me. Film wise, except for The Rise of Skywalker, which that's still been in jail for 4 or 5 years, has prevented any other films coming out.
Hectic. Insane.
No, I have faith. Franchise, I guess, the Spy Universe.
Oh man, Tiger 3 in IMAX.
I think that's kind of the franchise I'm excited about.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Again, a franchise that
a non-Hollywood
know what it is. Knows what it is.
And no Hollywood involvement.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, this movie is just like, it just sounds like, it kind of actually, you know what, it is reminding me what Nintendo these last few years is very much the, what I'm reading in the Marvel book now about them branching out of the video games and being like making these preliminary first ever deals with movie studios like on their accord. And it's interesting that they've done the Minions Mario movie and the Maze Runner Nintendo movie.
I reckon that like someone at Nintendo Kyoto thought of this great idea, like, hey, I know how we get Miyamoto to stop making us ruin our games, you know, because like,
yeah,
a lot of like the worst ideas in Star Fox Zero, for example, were apparently Miyamoto's ideas, and you can't say no to him. I can, they were just like, what if we send him to Hollywood?
Yeah, literally. And just let him make ass movies. Yeah.
And like the point that I was trying to make earlier was that no matter how bad / extremely popular the Mario movie was. We still got a Mario Wonder, and it was not, and same as the Mario theme park, these things completely exist separately from
the movie.
And, yeah, 100%. And it's not like, you know, there's not even like a Chris Pratt's Mario skin that Mario can wear.
Thank
in Mario
fuck.
Wonder.
Yeah,
you know, Sony or Microsoft would be doing that if
I mean, look
game.
At the Spider-Man game.
Exactly,
like half the costumes are film costumes, which is cool.
I have faith that no matter what happens to these characters on the silver screen, it will not affect or be reflected in the video games, which is not what Marvel or DC did. You know what I mean? Like how many retroactive, like, actually Nick Fury is black now, or like, you know, hey, this character does look like Dwayne the Rock Johnson now.
You mean like it permeating the comic books?
Yeah. I don't keep up with them anymore, but I'm sure they're making steps now that Ms. Marvel doesn't actually grow. She has like light based powers in the comics.
Yeah, and is a mutant now instead of an inhuman or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Retcon bullshit.
How is she a mutant at the end of the Ms. Marvel show when her powers are the bracelet?
I think it's like, no, because she doesn't have the bracelet as well. I think it's like the bracelet awoke her powers. I don't know. It's so like,
it's so convoluted.
It's so dumb because like the science fiction stuff that these movies goes over, it should not hurt your brain because it is at
dumb.
Its core
sake,
but they explain it so badly and then they leave things unexplained and also like my brain turns off when they start going
well. They don't tell, they don't like make it interesting.
Yeah,
it's just dumps of info.
Like that poor fucking Monica Rambeau character. All she did, like, for 75%... Okay, yeah. Okay.
Exposition.
25% of this movie was her, like, scowling and being annoyed at Carol Danvers.
Which is so dumb. I didn't really get that.
I just, like okay, this is, like, my fucking core problem with the Marvels. And I'll try not to spoil too much if you care. But, you know, this is a sequel to a movie that made over $1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it made over a billion dollars, yes, was because it was between the two biggest...
Between Infinity War and Endgame. And it was fever pitch for Marvel where we had this, like, 18-month period of, like... I'd say it's from, like... I'd even dial it back a bit and go, it's almost, like, post-Winter Soldier onwards. It's, like, Civil War onwards to Endgame or Far From Home is, like, pitch Marvel for me. Like, peak Marvel, rather, in terms of, like, the general consensus. Because you've got Black Panther, you've got Captain Marvel, you've got Homecoming, you've got Infinity War, Guardians 2. Like, all these things that, like, people still, I think, you know, refer to Ragnarok. People are like, oh, these are like the best versions of these films.
The first Captain Marvel movie was like, I don't know, fine.
Yeah, it's like it's fine in the sense that like the first, I think Iron Man's a better first film, but like in the like early Cap or like it's just a fun.
They were like, we're gonna like, we know we fucked up. We haven't done a movie with a girl as a lead, so they'd lean into it. It's like,
and it's also good that I like that it's a period piece. It's
exactly
here, and it fills in like why we should care about this character from a period that, you know, we don't know about in the MCU.
It has my favorite Stan Lee cameo of all time in it, where he gets
my favorite Kevin Smith reference
script. Yeah. Like, and
Mendo's
like,
great in it.
It has a really dumb needle drop that I know it's dumb, but I like it. Like,
the Just a Girl one.
Just a Girl, no doubt. Yeah, because I just love that song. But you know, it's the right
Goose stuff is good in it. The cat stuff is good. Yeah, I agree with you. Sam Jackson's fun in it.
Yeah, super fun.
He's just like a shit kicking.
I never liked the way he. Like the explanation that Goose is the one who scratches his eye.
I kind of like it. It's goofy as hell.
Yeah, but then why are they still friends?
Because he likes cats.
Okay, yeah, sure.
You know, I have a scar from a dog on my face, and that was my fault.
Up there, there's like, see, I have like a little.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, no, that was a cat actually. It scratched me. I'm basically Nick Fury on my forehead.
I have a scar on my lip from when I put a shovel on a rock when I was a kid and tried to catapult a rock into the sky.
And it hit you?
But instead I catapulted the shovel blade into
That's
my mouth.
That's awesome. That's such a big move.
Yeah, yeah.
I
had to get two stitches in my lip.
Oh, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yowie.
But
internet just came out. Okay.
The internet just came out.
My internet got charged. That's cool.
Yeah, man. Thanks for letting us know.
Oh.
What are you paying?
I don't know. I just said,
who are you
like,
with? Telstra?
I'm with Superloop, brother. What
the fuck's Superloop? Sounds like a great indie game.
Yeah, it is. It's a game that you would play. Direct debit dishonor. That's so weird. I just... whatever. Yeah, internet.
Everyone's got it. Unless you're with Optus. This week, they lost...
That's right.
Australia's second biggest mobile provider.
Second biggest.
No one had... internet for like half a day. That's fucking hectic.
Or a dream.
What do you reckon?
What
are you doing in that situation?
No, there was some shit. See, I know that like hospitals were affected.
Blowing
stuff.
Dust off the books in your library. I could just
finally
sit down
with
my true
love. I know like hospitals and shit got affected and like, you know, some landline, people couldn't call like emergency
You're
services.
Right, it is a dream.
So yeah, it's a dream. Jesus.
But no, the... first Captain Marvel, like, it was like, yeah, we're really gonna lean into this being the girl boss movie, and like, yeah, it's a little bit cringy in parts, but, and also it's a 90s movie, there's blockbuster stuff, and like, you do like Carol for all of the like underbaked stuff that's in every Marvel movie. Her portrayal of the character is fun.
It also tied in nicely cosmically. It didn't like it kind of did feel, you know, there was a tenuous link, as tenuous as it was, to like Guardians and other cosmic stuff. But, you know, you had Ronan the Accuser. Jude Law was a great villain, I thought. I forgot he was in it until we saw this movie.
Annette Bening is in Captain Marvel.
She is Mar-Vell, isn't she?
So weird.
Isn't she like the one that's like...
I can't remember. But like this...
Yeah, I can't remember like what happens. I know like a ship blows up and then Carol gets powers or something.
Like, I can tell you the Stan Lee cameo in every movie, but I also can't tell you the actual plot of any of them.
No, I can't either. I remember just Mendo being amazing in it. And so it had that nice fake out where like the Skrulls in this universe, you know, take on them as like kind of refugees. They're not like evil imposters.
But this is back in an era where the end credit scene of a Marvel movie would generally be a tease for the next movie.
And so this is the Avengers making contact with Carol.
At the end of Infinity War, just before Nick Fury turns to dust, he says, motherfucker. And then...
No, I think that is the Infinity War post-credit scene.
That's what I said.
Oh, yeah. And this one is them with the pager.
But I mean, like the setup, the reason why Captain Marvel works.
Yeah, because it made sense.
It makes sense. Whereas the last post-credit scene we saw, what was one at the end of Guardians? I don't know. Like, they don't all have to do
it. I don't think Guardians has one because that was kind of like a tease of what's to come, because that movie is like, I'm done now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we did get the post-credit scene tease.
I think the post-credit scene for Guardians is... no, you know what? It's like Chris Pratt eating breakfast with his dad.
That's right.
And it's like Star-Lord will return. With his grandpa. Yeah, and it's like Star-Lord will return. So that's maybe, nice. I mean, that could be a thing, but I know what you mean. Normally it was like a direct lead. Like, remember the Winter Soldier end credit scene like leads directly into Ant-Man, which... Oh, Civil War, I mean.
Yeah,
no,
yeah. Carol,
sorry.
Yeah. But yeah, it really felt like they knew what they were doing in terms of the path. And I know that they did tease this movie at the end of Ms. Marvel, which I think is the least watched I mean, surely Secret Invasion has beaten Ms. Marvel at that now. But at the time, it was the least watched MCU show on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
And I don't know if like people's main takeaway from WandaVision was, oh man, I can't wait to see that chick who walked through a hex twice in her own movie. But like, it feels like such an insane thing to overlook. Oh, people, like a lot of people went to see that first Captain Marvel movie.
Yeah.
Why aren't we calling it Captain Marvel 2?
Yeah.
Is my first
I read thing. That there was the director that pushed for it to be the Marvels and okay. It was her idea to be like, let's make it the team up movie.
Sure. I think you can still do a team up movie, but it still be called Captain Marvel 2.
100%.
But then also like, so I guess they make, even though like they both sulk for a lot of the movie, but they make Monica and Kamala, Ms. Marvel and unnamed superhero, they make them the fun characters, right? They're like
the biggest problem is the talking Brie Larson
animal. This is a Disney princess movie.
Yeah, Brie Larson just
Kamala
has nothing
and Monica
to do.
Are like the talking animal sidekicks. Yeah. Brie Larson is Carol Danvers.
She's just like pouting the whole movie and like pulling a stern face and acting with her eyes.
And when this movie does just go like, oh, let's just be fun for a while. It is like that first fight scene where the conceit of this movie.
It should be a body swap team movie.
These three characters body swap and it's so good. But like Ms. Marvel gets a better introduction in this movie than Captain Marvel does.
100%.
She gets this awesome animated sequence where you're like, oh,
it's
yeah,
it's like her sketch
this
is coming to
really
life
fun.
And it's about her standing.
But at no point are you reminded that like Carol Danvers is fun too.
100%.
If anything, she's like, oh, I did all these things off screen that you're going to see in flashback form that I now regret.
Yeah.
Like that is so boring. And like she has like, Kamala is like fangirling out to meet Carol. So you kind of see like, oh, maybe Carol's great through Kamala's eyes. But Monica has all this resentment because Carol hasn't been in her life, her entire life. And like spends the first half of the movie mad at Carol.
Which we still don't really get why.
Well, they do explain it. I do get it. But I just feel like, I don't know, there's a distinct lack of fun when it comes to the main character of this movie.
She's almost like a cop in this and she's like, I don't buy that she's hardened. My biggest problem, I guess we're talking about the movie. My biggest problem with it is so much of Captain Marvel's greatness post her first film is just talked about.
Yes.
Like we're not shown her in her prime. Like we know for a fact that Tony Stark became Iron Man in like 2008. And that's like, there's almost like another decade there between, well, two decades perhaps, if it's set in the early 90s, like of Captain Marvel doing stuff. Why does Kamala, a teenager in New Jersey, know what this woman in space does? Why is she wearing shirts that have comic book issues of her? Like, what has she done?
Yeah.
We know that she came down and like punched Thanos and like beat the shit out of people in Endgame, but 90% of the people there are like aliens and drones. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, how is this legend out there? It's like, so bizarre to me that she's like, I love Captain Marvel. And I'm like, she's not like a like, street level character.
That's like her, like more so than her
Black
faith.
Widow.
Than her faith is that she is a fangirl of Captain Marvel.
She grew up knowing Black Widow. She grew up you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
It's so funny. This Captain Marvel is like her thing. I get it, obviously, because she is Ms. Marvel and there has to be a relationship there. But I know there are pressures when making these films with like, very much with Marvel, like, hey, here's the roadmap we have. But I think we needed like a noughties period piece. I think we needed more Captain Marvel coming back to Earth. Or you know what I mean? Like something.
It's rushing to get like the girl power trio
rushing
movie.
Rushing for the team up.
When we don't, yeah, they haven't developed the character enough. Like any of these characters enough. Like I want, still I think the best version of Ms. Marvel cinematically would be to have a fucking movie or TV series set in high school. The first two 100%. Episodes of her series, they're the best. Then it falls
off a cliff.
I remember
when this movie ended, I was like, man, this body swap thing, it should have been just like Captain Marvel going to school, like swapping with Kamala in class. Like
some Freaky Friday shit.
Yeah,
you know what
Homecoming
I mean?
Like, was so successful because of like, you know, 60% of that film is set into high school.
But even like for a movie that takes so long to explain sci-fi concepts.
Yeah.
Like, okay, every time they use their powers, they swap. But except for the 75% of times that they use their powers, it's normal. They don't
stop. I don't understand. Yeah, because okay, I was just like, sometimes, and then sometimes like, it was like, you know, in Spider-Man 2, the Raimi one, when like Peter Parker can't use his web. I didn't understand why sometimes Captain Marvel couldn't use her power.
Yeah, she was for
like,
sure.
What's going on? And yeah, I'm like, what is going on? And they were like,
but then she could and she didn't swap. But then they did and she, they did.
There were zero rules to the swapping.
Except in the montage where they were, which was, each which punch, was great.
Each like power use, they would swap.
The montage of them figuring out their swapping powers. And they're
like, did we find out why rope? They were swapping?
Because they were connected because of light powers. Like, that's what I mean. Like, and the so the villain in this movie is like back to Malekith in Thor 2 bad.
Yeah, 100%.
Just like, no, I don't know what her name is.
Yeah, everyone else did.
Like,
though,
honestly, if you put a gun to my head, I would probably remember the name of the Skrull who's not Ben Mendelsohn.
Yeah.
Because again, the movie, the disrespect shown to the Captain Marvel quote unquote franchise. Mm.
There's and, no
and also like, and everyone's, I heard a lot of people being like, oh, Nick Fury's having so much fun in this movie. Motherfucker, Nick Fury has lost every person important to him like a week before this.
Yeah.
Why is he happy? Why is he like excited to see Goose?
I still don't know. I mean, I know this is, I know I didn't, you know, watch Secret Invasion, but I got no idea what he's doing in space.
Maria Hill died.
Yeah.
Ben Mendelsohn's character, the Skrull, died.
Yeah.
And then Iron Man's gone.
Yeah.
Captain America is old.
Yeah. Black Widow's dead.
And the Eternals, those motherfuckers aren't coming back.
Those Eternals are never eternaling again.
It's just like, it's like, oh yeah, it was so good seeing like Nick Fury have so much fun. But I'm like, man, he should be darker than ever now. Like,
100%. Apparently, people, I was reading, I again haven't watched Secret Invasion, but people were confused as to when Captain Marvel is set. Sorry, the Marvels are set because it's like two completely different Nick Furies.
Yes.
And in this
like
one,
he should be like, what's that, Carol? There are Skrulls on that planet. Boom. Kicks the door off out of the spaceship. Broken down there in a fucking tank.
Death Star just blowing boom, up boom, boom, the planet.
Like,
just channeling the idea. It feels so bizarrely disconnected, which is so funny given the intricacy of the story webs that I think they believe they've woven.
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest problem with this film, I find, not its biggest problem, sorry, not the biggest problem, but this film is the first film, more so I find than like Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, where it's like the product of, you know, it is the things that came before it are TV shows. WandaVision obviously played a role in Multiverse of Madness, given Wanda's like a, you know, the antagonist, if you will. but this one, it's like Ms. Marvel, 8 episodes of a show. WandaVision, 8 episodes of a show.
Was there only
and
6?
Secret Invasion. Yeah. It's like maybe 25 hours of content.
And every single one of those TV series cost more than the first Iron Man to make.
Insane. And like,
more than like two,
all of them,
Iron Man and two, one and two combined.
All of them petered out. You know what I mean? Most of them at the end, second half, some of them within the first 10 minutes, Secret Invasion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like petered out shows. And it's kind of like watching this film, I think you could understand what was going on without those shows. And then you kind of like, well, why do you make these shows? You know what I mean? Like,
and that's what they're asking themselves now, right?
Yeah, like, 100% they are. They have to have been.
The TV plan for Marvel has had the reverse effect that they are expecting.
Yeah.
Because now everyone, like all the TV series were mid at best.
Mm-hmm.
And like ain't nobody.
Some highs every now and then, if there was a great episode or something, but yeah, there's no need for
no
any
one's
of these
putting like any of these TV series in like their top 5 or top 10 MCU projects.
No,
you know
no,
what I mean?
No, and all of them could have been films or part of a film.
Yeah, like I know you were a big fan of Werewolf by Night, the color version.
Well,
like
you know, I famously colored it myself.
Yeah, of course.
I went toe for grace and just sat in my room and painted it frame by frame. Yeah, like none of these things matter. It's insane.
Whereas like, you know, coming out of they almost had like, it was good that they had COVID. It was good that they had to take a break.
Yeah.
And they should have just like let that shit cook, I guess.
Dude, we've said countless times, and we're not alone, take 5 years off after Endgame.
And like most embarrassing thing about this movie is that like 3 days before the movie came out, the Marvels, they do a new Marvels trailer, and the first 30 seconds,
it's Endgame footage.
Like Iron Man, Captain America,
Thor.
Yeah.
Nick Fury talking about the Avengers. It's like disrespectful.
It's so stupid.
And they're going on the like, you know, they're doing the Black Adam thing essentially. Not as profound, but they're like, you'll want to see these post-credit scenes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're going to get into all that soon. There's so much to unpack. And like,
because what was the last feature film?
Guardians 3.
Right. Which I think is probably like their best film in like years.
Yeah, but I mean, because
James Gunn made it and they let him have a singular vision essentially. And
yeah. And I don't
let him cook.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and I didn't like a lot of that movie, but I can't fault that it knew what it was.
It was a James Gunn film.
What it was trying to be. And you know what? If someone put it on in front of me, I would watch it all.
And yeah, it was a James Gunn film. So, exactly. It wasn't a Marvel film.
And I don't love every moment of most James Gunn movies.
Yeah.
So that makes
sense. Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally get that. I'm not like a James Gunn fanatic by any means, but the dude managed to have his DNA in a film that was like a tentpole Marvel film.
Yeah, and like Quantumania sucked. It's probably the worst reviewed movie that they've ever done.
I think
maybe
so.
Eternals is still the worst.
Yeah, maybe Eternals is.
I don't know. But at least like Paul Rudd was having fun in that movie and I could see him having
fun. Yeah, and Michael Douglas was.
Oh man, him and his aunts.
Yeah.
My aunts, Scott.
Paul, Scott, I gotta get my aunts.
And that made me forget a lot of the badness of that movie, that one performance. The bookend of him, you know, welcome back.
Great.
Like with him, I was like,
fun.
Oh yeah.
Even the start was fun where he's like doing the book tour.
Totally.
Yeah.
And
when like, it was like Ant-Man 1 and 2, I was like, cool, light, breezy, dumb shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Paul Rudd being Paul Rudd.
But then it became like, I think we're going to set up Kang. I don't think he hits his girlfriend, so let's focus this movie on Kang. And they're like, oh no, he does hit his girlfriend. Fuck.
Yeah, but we're still going to put 800 of him in the post credit scene.
Yeah, we'll film him 800 times,
laughing.
Yeah,
at his girlfriend after punching.
Yeah,
him.
Unbelievable.
Laughing at his 800 girlfriends that he just punched.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't know what's happening. I do know what's happening. The it's so funny that this thing was like, you know, that grace period of 3 years. Critics, I think, I've been thinking about it a lot, and it's almost like, there was a Taoist comic book movies for a long time, and Marvel did find this like balance of like light, humorous, whatever. And I think for critics, it was a breath of fresh air. So they'll probably quite, you know, oh, this is fun. This is a fun
romp.
So
much of it though is tied to the charm of the leading performances. And so
Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, like these guys were great. Chris Hemsworth, the casting of the like phase one and two Marvel is like impeccable. And three,
yeah.
Like impeccable casting.
But then you have a few actors who I think work in the context of being alongside,
yeah.
Like Scarlett Johansson, one of my favorite actors.
Yeah. I think she, as Black Widow, she's good in a team.
Exactly, she's awesome. As
same with Falcon.
Unless the other teammate is talking about how like he's a monster and she's like, yeah. Oh, I'm a monster too because I'm Baron or whatever. But like
Falcon and Bucky, I find good in a team. I don't think they're like great leading characters.
I think if they let Bucky be fun.
Yeah.
If they opened it with being like, he ran a real Bucky.
If he ran a seafood restaurant, I mean, oh, fucking come on. Hell.
That'd be incredible.
Yeah, but he's still so dour, you know? Like,
a seafood restaurant called Who Ordered the Calamari.
Yeah, Who Ordered the Calamari.
That would be fantastic.
Who Ordered the Calamari.
But the, like, when I think about the movies from these, like, that I really, truly hate, Eternals, not a single member of the cast.
It's so funny that like I think charming. They were banking on Kamel or being like this like fan King favorite.
I like, can imagine. But here's the thing: like we can go through every scene of the Marvels, and in a different way, different presentation, I can see it working.
Oh, totally!
This maybe goes against everything I've ever said on this podcast, but
yeah.
There is a scene in the Marvels where they visit a planet where everyone talks in song.
Yeah.
Okay, one, if that was in a Guardians movie,
it'd be so good.
It would fucking rule because you know he's paying for the rights to
real songs.
To like a 70s song.
Yeah.
And they sing like, you know, this is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Yeah.
And you know it's shot really well and it's going to be shot like some kind of like tribute to a music video or something. You know what I mean?
Also, this is Disney. Why didn't they just get fucking
Lin-Manuel
Miranda in? Like, yeah, I would have hated it,
yeah,
but I would have respected it for like actually
the
being a song that I remember.
Yeah, you would respect
this musical
swing
song.
Did.
It's like, they just go ha 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 ha.
There was no need for it to
and
be
it's
musical.
And Brie Larson even sings.
She's a singer.
And as we mentioned earlier in this episode, we like a rendition of a song she sung in a movie before better than the original.
Hard agree.
But I don't remember what the fuck she sang in this movie. It's
yeah.
like a really interesting idea.
That's the thing with this movie. It is a series of like some pretty interesting ideas. Like I find the villain's disdain for Carol, that's an interesting concept. Like I wanted to see more about that.
Best thing about that villain was her teeth.
Yeah, she had great teeth.
Loved
nice
her
grill.
Teeth.
Good
yeah,
grill.
Very good grill.
But like, you know, the reason why their people don't like Carol. I thought that was interesting, seeing like one person's savior be another person's, you know, annihilator.
But like, I want her to then stand up and prove, actually, you shouldn't not like me. Look at all these great things I can do.
Well, no, that's what I mean. I mean, the idea is good. I'm saying like the idea of that is cool. The idea of them switching powers is cool. The idea of the musical planet's cool. Yeah. The idea of like Carol being secretly a princess or something is cool. But it's like, it was so like poorly executed.
And also like, okay, the fucking biggest thing that is like, oh, this is like classic Phase 5 Marvel shit is that like,
oh my God, Phase 5. I can't believe this is a Phase 5.
So yes, they've named the team, the movie Marvels. After the team, the Marvels. And by the end of this movie, they've established the team. But also at the end of this movie, one member of the team is stuck in another fucking dimension. Like, and maybe we'll see her fucking
in Deadpool,
how many phases
or
from now? Like, yeah, with did an X-Men bit.
Yeah.
But like, so like, what's the point of setting up your team if you can't use them again? It's the lack of foresight.
Yeah.
It's the fact that like, when we see, you know, and everyone going into these movies, I'm way more passionate about this than I should be.
No, this is, no, because you, like, you know, there was a period where this was just like our fast movies where
my
just
dad
like enjoyable
loves me
slot.
Considerably less than he should because I've seen films. All of these movies. Yeah, Every time he babysit the kids so me and my wife can go watch these movies, he was so disappointed.
He took
in
off
us.
Some of the things you had in the will.
Yeah.
He was like, nope, he's losing like, this.
My dad was in hospital this week having a kidney removed.
Yeah.
Everyone please pray for no cancer.
Praying now.
More than that, pray that he doesn't find out that I went to the premiere of the Marvels.
I know,
while
you're
he
like
was in hospital.
Well, that's going to send him further.
He'll be like, dude, send me back. Don't let me back home.
Hook me back up to this horrible
and
machine.
Even more important than that, please no one let him know that like
we
3 weeks ago, I went to a fucking cinema to watch 2 episodes of the Loki season 2 show.
Fuck. At least, that's going to send him. We're getting soups.
In the lead up to this, everyone's like, look, this is, you know, 2 characters from this were introduced in TV shows.
Yeah.
How are they going to
retroactively explain it?
Surely it's going to be in a tasteful way. There is a literal device that you put on your head that shows memories of what you do. I just remember the funniest part of the fucking movie. So a movie opens with Brie Larson putting on wearing this thing in her space pod or whatever.
It just plays the first movie.
Recounts the entirety of the first movie and 1 second of the last time we saw Captain Marvel, which is in the post-credits scene of Shang-Chi, where she is a hologram alongside Mark Ruffalo.
Do you know what other movie started like that, essentially? Fast 10. Yeah, remember, just replays the scene from 5?
And then later, luckily she has 3 of them in her in her one-person spaceship.
James Gunn would have had fun with it, call it like the backstory Anita. You know what I
mean? Exactly. But so Carol and Monica and Kamala access each other's memories.
Yeah,
and
it's like they have a threesome with their brains.
So not only do we see, like, yeah, they do a great job of kind of summing up Ms. Marvel because we get this awesome cartoonish Enter the Spider-Verse-esque kind of intro
Homecoming
to
slash Spider-Verse.
And it just tells you the basics of what you want, what you need to know.
She's like, I'm a kid from Jersey. I love Ms. Marvel.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, my family knows I'm a hero, but they're not that into it.
My dad's a pedophile. I
think I time traveled.
Yeah, who knows, whatever.
In that dumb show.
But don't worry, the bat, I punched a hole in the ground and ran through a tunnel.
And then like some people got hurt.
Yeah.
Well, look, I think we should go full spoiler.
No, but the 3 of them wear this.
Oh yeah.
This like memories and thing.
Device.
And so you, not only do you get like a summary of Monica from WandaVision, but you also get the scene of her mother dying from Carol's POV, or like her with cancer.
Yeah.
And so
Which happened during the blip, I think they say.
Yeah, that's right. Because when we first meet Monica, it's as she blips back in WandaVision.
Yeah, that's right.
And her mother's dead.
Yeah.
She's
visiting her in hospital and then she dies.
And so like Monica finds out that like, you know, Carol and her mom stayed in touch towards the end of her mother's life.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't want to see that. I'm not ready to have this conversation with you right now. And then they take the things off. And Kamala goes, hey, your mom seemed pretty cool.
Your mom seemed pretty cool. And all she saw was her being like, I'm dying.
Exactly. All she saw
was like,
her
come on,
mom
that's
saying,
not that cool. That's sad.
The cancer is back.
Dude, it was hectic.
And fucking Ms. Marvel's like doing shuckers. Fucking radical, dude.
Yeah. She's like, damn, your mom was a legend. I was like, whoa.
That's my new favorite, like, like throwaway. It was
big.
Superhero
you know
line.
What was? It was big. I'm sorry about Venom.
Exactly what I was going to say.
It was so. Yeah. I'm sorry about Venom. Yeah. Well, look, I've got to pee. Yep. Let's talk spoilers. We're going to dive in for PayFam, US $5 a month. I've recently been contacted. It's $5 for US. So there will be inflation if you're Australian.
It's, I think it's $8.50 if yeah. you want to pay Australian.
$8.50. That's maybe a third of a ticket to see the Marvel. So, you know, you don't want to see
IMAX,
it.
In IMAX, it's less than a quarter.
That's right. That's ticket. Right.
That, and yeah, if that, you want to sit in one of those recliner seats, it's less than sixth of what it costs.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about what it...
Go take a look.
As you know, I'm never a fan of checking my phone during a movie, but I did use my phone in this screening to do something which was extremely funny,
best,
and I can't wait to talk about it.
The most thing of all time, and I wish I could have done it with you.
Dude, it was so funny, wasn't
so,
it?
Look, please continue for this extremely passionate discussion. Yeah. The most passionate discussion of the Marvels that you'll see by two guys who aren't incels this
yeah.
week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
right, I have to pee so bad.
You can hear it by going to patreon.com/heyfam. $5 US a month is all it costs to get a bonus episode of Hey Fam every single week. Plus, you get access to our Discord community. We have a Marvel's spoiler chat channel in there as well if you want to join us in there. And we would love to have you. Plus, once we finish recording, Angus and I are finally going to list the new Hey Fam t-shirts, our first ever merch drop. And one of them features the one and only Kevin Feige himself. So the fastest way for you to get access to that merch is to go to our Patreon, patreon.com/heyfam. We would love to have you there. See you then.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.